everyone. Welcome to the Total Rally Podcast. A slightly shorter show this week. We decided to kind of tidy it up a little bit and just kind of have a little bit of a, more of a chilled out show. And have Aidan Paddon, just kind of let him stretch his legs. Normally we're just at 100 mile an hour and bouncing from guest to guest, but it seemed very fitting really, because we kind of marked time, because it was 5 years more or less to the month that that Aidan was a guest of ours when we did a live broadcast from the Sky Tower over in New Zealand. And Clarkie was over there, and there's still some pictures on our Facebook page actually, so we thought it'd be quite nice to get Aidan back and just kind of look back over the last 5 years for him, and just the trials and tribulations of getting to the top, because at that point he was a dog privateer who was who basically really just got his head down and just did as much as he possibly could, and getting engaged with local companies and international companies and everything else. And he tells the story anyway, and it's a fascinating story. And as I say, it was great to talk to Aidan, and I hope you enjoy that. But as ever with Total Rally, we always do a little bit on account, a little bit of news, a little bit of chronological order. And it's quite a difficult one, this, all things considered. Clarkie did a great thing on it today, by the way, on Periscope, which is going to be getting used more and more, which if you follow Clarkie, you'll pick up on it. But it's a fantastic app, and he did a great piece today on spectator safety. And it's a funny old one for me, because obviously, to be fair to someone, Clarkie obviously did the program, there's a lot of guys who've contributed to that, of photographers and other guys in the media and stuff like that. I've probably drove more rallies than what I've spectated on over the last probably near 18 years 19 years, or whatever it is. And I've seen some horrendous things, and albeit here over in the UK, I've not seen some of the things that you see abroad. You know, obviously Portugal is been in the spotlight recently, and obviously some of the historic footage of Group B cars and stuff like that. I've never experienced anything like that, but I have seen some horrendous things on UK rallies, and genuinely quite frightening. And especially where we are in our little car, our car's quite quiet and everything else, and you can come over a blind crest and there's people wandering about, and there's arms coming out with cameras and everything else. But I know the thing that Cole did today, there will be I'm going to try and be down with the kids now and know what this is called. It's kind of like a video cast. I think it's going to be turned into a video as well, so I'm sure you follow Colin on Twitter. Look, check out Cole's Twitter feed, and it'll be on there, so have a little look at that. Unfortunately, all what's going on at the moment comes on the back, not just on the back of, but obviously what happened sadly at the weekend over in Estonia, where again we've lost some of the rally family, some rally spectators, which is very, very sad. And obviously our thoughts go out to all those involved and everything else. And it's a horrible time for obviously for the people that have lost loved ones and everything else, and obviously the crew. That one thing that has come out in the press today, apparently that Abu Dhabi seem to be now at the forefront of a new event for WRC. Now that leaves three events: Germany, France and GB, of one of the ones that could drop out in order to put Abu Dhabi in. Obviously Abu Dhabi spending a fantastic amount of money supporting the Citroën team, and obviously the Citroën juniors and everything else. So normally, kind of money talks, and I would be very surprised if Abu Dhabi wasn't in over the next couple of years. But obviously it's concerning to see what we would lose in order to fit them in. So watch this space, as they say. But apparently they're the only three events now that have not got an agreement in place moving forward, which is Germany, France and Rally GB. I'm quite excited by mentioning Toyota again, because Toyota just seems to have been part of Total Rally from day one. But obviously Toyota is now moving forward again. Check out program. By all means, tweet me about it, and I'll dig it out for you. But there was a full breakdown of the makeup and the hierarchy and the management and everything else of Toyota, which Cole did again. And by all means, if somebody tweets me, I'll get you the date and everything else. But it gave a very, very comprehensive breakdown of how Toyota is formed and the structure and everything else. But they are most definitely moving forward, and they're moving forward with such effort, but quietly. They've been doing some driver evaluations now. They've been doing it with some Japanese drivers, and I urge you to go and have a look, because it's a fascinating little video. It's on WRC.com at the moment. And Mika Hirvonen and Tommy Mäkinen have been involved, and I think they've been at Tommy's school, and they've got two two drivers that have been picked that are going to be doing Rally Portugal, and one of them is Toshi Arai's son, and he's come up through this academy type system, and also another guy's son who is a four-time Japanese champion. And you know, I always struggle with these pronunciations. I can tell there's people probably there smiling now, waiting for me to try and get. I'm going to attempt it, so don't judge me on this. It is Kasatsu Takamoto. There you go. I'm going to go with that. But anyway, we've got it's, as I say, it's Toshi Arai's son, and also four times Japanese champion son. So obviously, it's in the blood, it's in the veins, and everything else. And so they're going to be doing Rally Poland, and this is all part of this Toyota thing of obviously having junior drivers and already working with them and everything else, which I find fascinating. I genuinely do, and it seems to be the way that all these teams are going now. Obviously, Volkswagen have done the thing with Skoda, and obviously there's been that natural progression there. And M Sport have been very, very supportive of bringing drivers through, and I just see it's kind of the way forward. Obviously, the Citroën Juniors, obviously, with going back to what we mentioned before about Abu Dhabi, of course, you know, they've got a whole host of cars out as well. But but anyway, before we crack on, we've also got Zors this weekend, which ERC round, and it's an event that we covered, gee whiz, probably would have been 2011, back in the days when it was an IRC round, as was, and again, that's another one that we had Clarky on, and we're actually going to have one of the ERC juniors joining us a bit later on, a guy called John Armstrong, and young lad, somebody who I rallied with a few years ago, and he is absolutely blistering quick on tarmac. He's just got pace about a spadeful, and he is definitely going to be one to watch, and he's got some nice support behind him as well, and I think he could do well. I think he could be another Irish boy that'd do well. Speaking of Irish boys, we're also going to have Art McCarrick on a little bit later on. If you remember Art, we had Art on a few months back now, and we did a little bit of a preview of some of the Irish tarmac, and he does that fantastic website called Dick Slapped, and there was a term which isn't just, you know, it's just gone completely out of my head. Hero. Oh, somebody tweet me it. You know the one I'm looking for. Art, you're going to be listening. You can tweet me that. So we're going to do a little bit about Azores, and we're also going to do a little bit about Donegal, because we're going to be away for a couple of weeks after this show, and we thought we'd get a little bit in about Donegal. We were hoping to have Ryan Champion from Barbados. He's been over enjoying Rally Barbados with his family, but also obviously doing a little bit of work out there, and he was going to be joining us, unfortunately, and I will read you the tweet. I will, sorry, the text message. I will read you the text message now, and unfortunately, I've got a bit of a mechanical medical issue. Stepped on some metal which has been removed at the hospital, but my foot is now swollen up and they want to take me back in, so I can't be there with you tonight to talk about Rally Barbados. But he did send us a report in, so please tweet Ryan, tell Ryan to get well soon. And basically, for those of you who didn't know, it was Rally Barbados of the weekend, and there were some really, really interesting characters. SX4, which we mentioned, Tony managed to pedal that to fourth overall, and we also had Jean-Michel Jofre. It was all going so well, wasn't it? That's what you have before you have coffee, before you start the programme. Sam and John Joseph, there you go, got there in the end. He was, of course, Colin McRae's teammate in the very, very early days of the Ford Focus. He came back for this one as well. He was second overall, but Paul Bird, again, who's a superbike team boss and also very, very quick national guy over here, he was third overall, but the winner was a local gentleman, Jeffrey Patton. But I just get the feeling whenever I look at the tweets and some of the photographs that have been coming out from Rally Barbados, I don't think anyone really cares. You want, it just looks amazing. It just looks like a complete and utter buzz. And hopefully one day, if I can convince enough people to let me go, we'll get over there for Rally Barbados anyway. But anyway, we are wittering on, and what we are going to do, we're going to have a cheeky short break, and then we're going to come back with the fabulous Mr. Hayden Patton.
Team Coordinate, your perfect travel partner for all your European, Manx and Irish motorsport travel. Whether you're a competitor, marshal or a motorsport fan, we have the connections and discounts available for ferry travel to and from the UK. Team Coordinate, we can cater for individuals, teams or group bookings. Working with organisers of race, rally and classic touring events, we take away the hassle of travel with bikes, cars, trailers and trucks, accompanied or unaccompanied. Team Coordinate. Call Dane or Donna now on 441904-766-787 or email us on info@teamcoordinate.com.
Welcome back to Total Rally. As I say, we are going to have Hayden Padden. We've got lots and lots of questions coming in. By all means, if there's anything else you want us to be asking Hayden, we will certainly get you on. But welcome back to Total Rally, Hayden Padden.
Yeah, thanks very much. How are you doing?
We're really good. I don't know whether you heard the intro to the programme, but I did a little bit of research, and it's more or less 5 years to the month, give or take, that you were on our programme from the Sky Tower with Clarkie.
God, you've got a good memory.
Well, do you know what? There was a photograph on our Facebook page, and I was just going through, but I tidied up a few bits before I was going through, and I went, there's Hayden there. And I went, ah. And I looked at it, and there you were in the Sky Tower with supporting your team colours and everything else, as you always did, very professionally, and answering questions. So 5 years on, has much changed?
Well, I can tell you, we're not going to be in the Sky Tower at the moment because there's no rally in New Zealand, so hopefully in a year or two, maybe we can be back there again. Yeah, 5 years. Geez, a lot's happened in 5 years.
Yeah, well, funny enough, we've got lots of questions, and one of the things is going to be about Rally New Zealand, and we will come back to that. But as I said, one thing I've got to ask you before we crack on. In fact, there's a couple of things before we crack on. Right, have you still got the Evo 9?
Yes.
I thought you would.
It's my pride and joy sitting in the shit at home, actually.
It's a legendary car, which you just pedalled everywhere, and I was hoping you were going to say that. I just couldn't imagine anybody else having your car.
She's done a few miles. We tried to completely write it off a few years ago, but we brought it back from the dead, and it's as good as new again.
Fantastic. You probably didn't hear this, but you were a major part of a debate in our programme the other week, purely by your driving a Mark II Escort. And we started comparing a couple of WRC guys and former WRC guys, because obviously Yari Matti seems to like driving Mark II Escorts, although I don't think he's officially allowed to at the moment, but certainly when he was at M-Sport, he was always very quick. Miko's been very quick, and obviously some of the older guys as well are coming back in Escorts, and we thought it'd be quite nice to actually just put you all in Mark IIs and just go in and do an event somewhere just to see what had happened. I just think the spec...
We've actually tried to try and get a few more WRC drivers in to do the Otago Classic Rally, and they always try and get one star down there, one ex-world champion every year, whereas I think the toying with the idea of trying to get four or five drivers down there, and we know Miko's showed some interest in, you know, getting some like Petter down, and Yeri Matti's probably a bit more difficult with contracts and things, but for sure it'd be good to try and line a few drivers up at once.
Fantastic. Well, the last time we spoke, as I say, it was 2010, and you know, we said tongue in cheek, but so much has happened since then. You know, PWRC champion in 2011, moving on obviously to 2012 in the Super 2 car. How difficult has the jumps been? Because you've been dogged in determination to get to this point where you are now, and I know you're not even counting your chickens now, because nobody ever. Determination and ticking the boxes that you've been asked to tick has been phenomenal. How difficult, if you can put it into words, has it been?
For sure it's been really, really hard. It's probably hard to describe it exactly, but you know, obviously in this sport, you know, the biggest hurdle has been all the financial strain, I guess, it's put on us, and trying to essentially over doing 3 or 4 years of support championships, we've had to raise almost $3 million over that time period. And we haven't come from a family that's wealthy. We've had to actually go out and knock on doors and ring and search for that money. And the first year in 2011, it was a little bit easier because it was obviously the first a lot of supporters coming on board to help us, and we were regularly winning, and that was helping. But as we just started going further and further, obviously it started getting more expensive, and the funds were drying up. So we're probably lucky that Hyundai opportunity came along when it did, because we're sort of on the end of the funds, and we probably wouldn't have been able to do another year. So I guess it goes to show that you need a bit of patience, I guess. It took 4 years of that, and there's times where you could have easily thrown in the towel, but we just stuck at it, and and gritted our teeth, and it all worked out in the end.
Do you think it may seem like an odd question, but the fact that obviously from the being from that kind of New Zealand kind of area and Hyundai obviously a very big motor company in that neck of the woods, and did that help the passage into that particular team?
I think so, for sure. At the time, what we had Citroen and Ford, and to be honest, Citroen don't have a huge car market down our part of the world, and Ford and Australia are particularly interested in the V8s down there racing rather than rallying. So as soon as we heard that Hyundai were going to be joining the championship, which was, I think, 18 months before they actually entered, the day that we heard the press conference, we had a CV sent to Korea. We were meeting with Hyundai New Zealand, and I'm sure they hadn't even been thinking about car drivers by then, and we're making sure that, you know, our name was in the box right from the word go. And from the time that we sent that first CV, it was 2 years until we actually drove the car. So it was a long, drawn-out process.
Bound document, you send it in and you just kind of wait, or is it, you know...
I normally have something quite personal on it through to Korea. People that probably didn't know who we were, or much happens a little bit to describe who we are and what we do and where we want to go. So I guess it depends who you're approaching.
Obviously, you had a couple of outings. I think it was in the Fiesta World Car, didn't you, if memory serves? I know you had the result over in Spain. Was it one or two outings you had in that?
Just the one rallying, then.
Was it just... Because it was one of those things. I love rallying because it is kind of like a village. Were you very, very close to driving that car on GB or something like that? Was there possibly an option for you?
Yeah, there was. I can't recall exactly who. It might have been Massa, maybe, who pulled out of GB last minute. And there was an opportunity there. I was a scholarship, which was only around for 2 years. We got that. Particularly, you know, Terry, with the speed that he's generating from this car at the moment on some of the rallies, he's a perfect benchmark. I think he's one of the fastest drivers out there.
Again, but thanks, Hooch, by the way, you tweeted that in. Another one from Twitter, again, which kind of ties in quite nicely to that. Obviously, it's your first full season. What's the target for this season? I assume it's mileage and seat time, or you know, are we trying for podiums?
Well, I guess I'm in two minds with that. There is the sensible side of me that knows that we're still sort of going through that learning process still. Next weekend in Sydney, that we've done before in the car. But then there's the other side of me that I'm pretty competitive, and I don't like finishing sixth or seventh or eighth or wherever it may be that we're at the moment. So for sure, in the second part of the year, I'd like to think likes of Australia, we can try and push for a podium. Finland, Poland, maybe some top five finishes. So we definitely want to be closer to the front, but you know, I've got to be realistic as well with where we're at with the car. And you know, the competition's pretty strong these days. It's so close from the top 10. So we've got rally by rally goals, and Sardinia next week's probably not a rally I favour a lot, but then beyond that, they're all rallies that I enjoy, and for sure we're going to be pushing pretty hard for trying to get some good results.
We joked about it at the beginning, but obviously there's a seriousness to this as well with regards to no Rally New Zealand, and obviously there's certain drivers that have not done Rally New Zealand. Obviously, you want to be back. You want to do a home event. Surely, that's obviously goes without saying. But have you got any thoughts or any insight on the likelihood of that being able to happen?
Well, I know that they're working very hard behind the scenes. From an organiser's point of view in New Zealand, the rally's ready to go. The sponsorship, the money's there. They have great new facilities and service park venues, stages. They're talking about going back to some of the famous stages from the 80s and 90s. So, you know, the rally's ready to go. The public's ready to get behind it. It's really just got to come down to the decision makers in the sport, and I think that's where there's a bit of a barrier at the moment. So it's a little frustrating because we have a small population and a small car market, but my theory is in this day and age, the sport's not about selling cars necessarily just for the racing. You know, that's what the media and the technology is for, is that the people that enjoy rallying and the fans, they'll watch it no matter where it goes around the world. And if it's in Australia or New Zealand, it's no different time zone wise. So, you know, all the drivers want to come to New Zealand. It's the best roads in the world. It's the closest competition you can get. You know, the scenery it provides for the TV images that get broadcasted around the world is second to none. So, but of course, I'm a bit biased on it all. So, I could go on all day about it as well, so I'll stop there. But for sure, it's something I'm pretty passionate about.
I assume, obviously, you know, everybody from the home countries, my dream was always to do Rally GB, and I've been lucky enough to do it a few times. Obviously, growing up, your dream was to do Rally New Zealand. That goes without saying, surely.
Oh, sure. It'd be a close second if, you know, we ever get the opportunity to try and go to Rally New Zealand and the manufacturer team to try and win it. You know, that'd be a close second to try and be world champion. So, for sure, it'd be a dream. And, you know, for me, it makes sense to go there. But, of course, it's the promoters need to be going. They want to be going places where these new markets or new populations. So, it's for sure, it's a difficult one.
As I say, we've had a couple of questions in via Twitter, if I may, and Fitness from Tez, interesting Twitter feed. I hope he's in the gym as he's listening to us. I'm not entirely sure whether I want that image or not, but anyway. Hayden, so just so we can understand, how much time do you think is lost by not having a full-spec car at the moment?
It's really, really hard to measure it. We know, for example, in Portugal, from the data, that the difference between the gear shift and the pedal shift was between 20 and 30 seconds over the course of the whole rally. And again, is in my driving still. I still got a lot to learn with my technique and trying to get more speed out of myself. So that's what we're focusing on.
I was just about to say, I suppose the other good thing as well as now is having that factory seat and what we were talking about before with regards to having a customer spec car and everything else. Okay, you've got an older car, but it's not a customer spec car, but you've also got now the same level of testing, the same amount of seat time, because seat time is just everything, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we're actually a little bit limited. We're only allowed one test day per rally, whereas the other drivers get two test days per rally, so there are still some limiting factors, but in saying that, you know, probably the biggest thing with me, for me being on a factory team is, you know, being able to learn and work as a team with your teammates. So, you know, after every rally, we're going through the data, we're overlaying it with Danny's data, with Terry's data. I can see exactly where we're losing time, the way that they're driving the car compared to me. And, you know, the amount that I've learned in the last 12 months with this and the car setup is more than I've learned in the last 20 years. It's just by having, you know, the access to those resources that helps speed up the learning curve.
Do you know what, this is a kind of anarchy question just for me, this one, more than anything. But do you know, when you do your data and you look over it and everything else, whose style are you more similar to when, because obviously watching footages, you can kind of say, okay, he's took that cut there, he's took that line, or he's not as sideways as him or whatever. But when you actually do like for like, where are you similar to? You know, are you more kind of Thierry, are you more or more Danny?
It's quite an interesting question, actually, because I guess I'm sort of going through a bit of a transition at the moment of changing my style a little bit. To start with, probably a little bit more like Danny. Danny tends to drive the car a little bit smoother, and our car setup's a little bit closer, whereas Terry certainly is more aggressive with the inputs he's putting into the car, and that reflects in his setup. But probably in the last two rallies, I'm starting to learn that I've got to be more aggressive with the car in terms of sliding the car into the corner more and trying to come out of the corner straighter, whereas in the past, coming from Group N, my natural style was to drive the car into the corner like a front-wheel drive car. But doing it in this car now means we're too sideways on the exit, and that's where you lose all the time. So basically now it's all about trying to get a straight exit, and that is meaning to be more aggressive on the entry, a bit like Terry.
Again, another anarchy question for me. Do you find the need to left foot brake more in a wheel car than what you did driving a Group N car?
No, it's just something, there's a technique I adapted more that Dad taught me when I think I had the Mini many, many years ago, and it's just a natural thing now. I just do it regardless of what the car is, or even if it's a Mark II Escort where you've still got to be using the clutch or still be using the left foot on the brake. So it's just a habit thing more than anything now.
I find it very difficult trying to left foot brake an Escort because everything you just seem to be swapping ends so quickly.
For me, it was a soft brake pedal. You'd be pressing on the brake pedal and it's going to the floor. I'm used to something that's rock solid. So that was always a bit unnervy.
They hadn't disconnected the servo for you, mate, no?
No.
Anyway, listen.
Got a handicap, thanks.
There's something I want to ask you about, and by all means, if you don't want to chat about this, it's completely fine. Colin did a nice piece today on Periscope with regards to spectator safety, which has again come out today. The FIA have come out and said they're going to appoint somebody specifically now to look at this. Obviously, you had issues over in Argentina in your time with regards to just how closer now and how more involved spectators seem to be getting, or is it just being highlighted a lot more now?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. Like, you definitely find different rallies in different countries, you've got different rules. Definitely, they deal with it all in different ways. You can't really finger point on who's to blame for some of these things, but I do feel like from what we've seen over the last 3 or 4 years through the support championships, that maybe things are starting to get a little bit more relaxed. And after the Group B era, maybe it's got forgotten about a little bit. Whereas I think now after Argentina, I think obviously it's come to light and there's a lot more emphasis on it now. So for sure, there is a lot of things that can be improved. But in saying that, you know, we're all quite concerned going to Portugal with the amount of spectators and the possible problems. But Portugal is probably one of the best rallies we've ever been to from a driver's point of view in terms of spectator control. So, you know, obviously it comes down to event organisers. I think the biggest thing is probably teaching the public. You know, it's got to come down to common sense at the end of the day. If you've got 50,000 people on one stage, you're never going to be able to control that with 50 or 100 policemen. It's got to come down to common sense, people standing in the right places, learning where cars may go and maybe even other spectators talking to other spectators if they think someone's in a dangerous position and taking it on themselves, I guess.
Yeah, you know, it's something that we spoke about a couple of times on the programme, and I know everybody is, and funny enough, it's something, as I say, Colin's done a nice piece on it today, and he's also set up a little bit of a cheeky website. Please check it out on his Twitter feed, about basically showing people doing silly things on stages and everything else, and kind of highlighting them and kind of embarrassing these people into not doing it. But I know, speaking to certainly marshals that I know who've done various events and stuff like that, there's an intimidation sometimes to go and talk to people. And that's what they're finding very difficult now, that the fact that they are seeing things, but there's an intimidation element of people who perhaps are not rally fans, but they're going out for a day out, and which is what we want. We want new fans to come into it, but they haven't got the same passion that runs through all our veins, who completely and utterly understand what it takes to make a rally work, and also not to, you know, get into a driver's eye line, because that's got to be the worst thing that happens for you guys going at that speed. Just seeing somebody in your eye line, you know, on a blind crest or something like that, you know, not doing that confidence lift, not touching the brake, must be, you know, it must be so difficult.
Yeah, for sure. Like, particularly when you're going to places like Argentina and the people are so close to the road, it certainly does take your attention sometimes. But in saying that, you know, you are fully focused on your job, and sometimes you don't notice where they are, and you're just focusing on the road. So at the end of the day, our job is to drive as fast as we can, no matter where the people are. You know, we got faith in the system that the people are in the right places, and if we're going at the stages worried that there might be people in dangerous places, then we're simply not going to drive fast. But I guess, from a spectator point of view, I've always thought there's two good rules, and it's one, not to stand on an outside of a corner, and two, try and stand on higher ground than the road. And if those two rules followed, I think generally you'll be in the right place. But it's difficult sometimes.
Yeah, it seems very obvious. Again, when I opened the programme, I kind of, before we came on air, I kind of very quickly, and, you know, I've done local stuff and national stuff over here for nearly 20 years, and I was thinking I've probably done more rallies as a driver than I have as a spectator, and perhaps I need to go back and spectate again and see what's kind of going on. And I probably, hand on heart, I feel quite bad. I'm probably going to, I need to go and marshal and actually see what those guys go through as well before I probably say too much on it. But yeah, anyway, listen, You've been a great guest as ever, Hayden, and I'm really conscious of taking up too much of your time. We do have one very, very tiny thing in common, and it's the tiniest thing, and I do latch onto these things. I think you possibly have got one of my old engineers that works on your car.
Yeah? Who's that?
It's called...
What's his surname?
Steph Rolson.
Ooh. I think he might be on the test team, maybe.
Okay, he's got kind of grey spiky hair. He really dislikes being called Stephanie. That's all I'm going to tell you.
All right. It's gonna bug me all night now to work out who that is.
He's an English guy. He's from Nottingham.
Oh, I know. Yes, yeah, I know who you're talking about now. He's in the gearbox department.
That's him. Yeah.
Yes, I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah,
he's a good man.
Yeah, well, he's all right. No,
the problem is when there's 150 people in the team, I sometimes just have to take a minute just to think who each person is. So
yeah, I know. It's not like
trying to learn everyone.
It's not like the old days when it was just your mates, was it? You know, it's a big difference,
exactly.
Really. Still there you go. But no, listen, Hayden, I thank you so much for joining us 5 years on. It was lovely to kind of do that.
Thank you very much for having me.
I hadn't really realised it was 5 years on, but it's been an amazing 5 years for you. And
we'll have to make sure we do it sooner than 5 years again next time.
Oh, most definitely. And listen, stay safe, mate, and I wish you the very best of luck for Sardinia and obviously for the rest of the season. And you enjoy the new toys on your car.
Perfect. Hey, thanks very much.
Take care, Hayden. Cheers. See you soon. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was Hayden Padden. What a lovely, lovely guy. And as I say, it was just before we came on air where I realised that it was, as I say, pretty much 5 years since we had him on. But thanks everybody, by the way, for the tweets as well. They were really, really important. And it's always great. Sometimes, by the way, I apologise, we do get lots and lots of questions tweeted in and we get a couple of direct messages and stuff like that. Sometimes as the guests talking, they're kind of answering the questions. So rather than kind of stop them and interrupt them and everything else, just let them answer. I hope you're getting the answers to all your questions anyway. And that, folks, is the end of our total rally for this season, actually. Season 4 has come to an end quite neatly with episode 20. Thanks to Hayden Padden, who was a great guest. As I say, it was lovely to mark time with Hayden's career, really, and have a little bit of a chat, a little bit of a catch-up and review what's been going on. As I say, we will be missing now for a few weeks. Total Rally will return in a few weeks' time. Probably going to have a slight change to the format, and there's a few things going on, and all will be revealed as time goes by. But we will be missing. So if you've got a favourite episode, maybe from the archives, maybe something from the original series back in 2010 or even maybe 2011, see whether I can dig that out for you. By all means, tweet me at TonySimpson74 and I'll see whether I can get that out at least as a podcast for you. But it just leads me to really to thank everybody really who's supported us in season 4 and probably in season 3 as well. So thanks to the guys at Fab Radio International for allowing us to come and talk rallying with you guys. And also obviously to Clarkie, and there's no show without Punch, as I say, with Clarkie. And it's been good to make some programs again with him. And also to Ryan, who's been our guest host, and our various guests as well. We've far too many to list at this point, but it's been an absolute ball, and hopefully we'll come back and talk to you again in the not too distant future about rallying. But as I say, by all means, tweet us at Total Rally, and you know where we live. If you want to tweet me directly, it's at TonySimpson74. And if you've got any favourite shows, as I say, from the archives, and you can give me a little bit of time, I'll see whether I can get them sourced out for you and get them up as podcasts, so you've still got your weekly fix, as it were. But as I say, thank you so much for joining us over the last couple of seasons of Total Rally. And it wouldn't be the same without you guys. At the end of the day, it'd just be a couple of blokes in a room talking about rallying, and you guys give it a whole different dimension. The advent of Twitter and Facebook and all those things since we started doing Total Rally back in 2010 is just completely transformed how we make programs, and we try to make them as interactive as what we can, and hopefully we can do a little bit more of that moving forward. But as I say, we will be back in one form or another, and as I say, it's been lovely to talk to you all. My name's been Tony Simpson. Good night. God bless.